place to go.
Good morning. Monday morning, the Steve Cochran Show from the WGN Radio Skyline Studio. Dave Ennett here. Jisook Yee across the way.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Super Joe on the other side of the glass, along with Vivian, Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandeveld in WGN Traffic Central. Good weekend.
It was great. It just went by too fast, and I know you've got to be happy. Because the Bears won.
The Bears won. The Cats won.
Yeah.
Mondays are so different. Mary, back me up on this. When, yeah. when the Bears win.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we would have been sitting in here if he, does, if he doesn't make that field goal or something else fluky happens. It was a fluky end of the game anyway.
The whole game was just bizarre.
I was so tired of seeing flags,
and they've got to do something about all these penalties.
Well, it was every game. It wasn't just the Bears and Broncos.
Nobody can play football anymore. Nobody can, you know, tackle, and they get called for penalties. It's driving me crazy.
I love that Dave's word of the day is going to be fluky.
I love the fluky.
Yes, I'm going to work that in.
That game was fluky. That was a perfect adjective for that game.
It's a win.
Yeah,
it's
I don't care.
Dramatic one at that. And so we'll talk to Dan Hampton next hour about that. What'd you do this weekend?
You know what? I had a lot of friends in town, so I am a little worse for the wear because entertaining.
It's exhausting.
It is because it's like they want to go out, they want to do this, they want to go bar hopping.
Yeah, be our tour guide. Show us where to go.
I know. And I had two friends over the weekend, so it's just like
you know what
oh
you
my
need.
Gosh.
What do I need? You need fewer friends. That's the only answer.
Oh, no. I can't get rid of anybody.
Hey, at least you had fun. Our hot water heater busted yesterday.
Oh, man.
My friends are already dropping like flies the minute they have kids, and then it's like I never see them again. So I've got to keep the ones I got, Dave.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Keep entertaining.
All right. Let's get to the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
A number of 2020 Democratic candidates are demanding Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's impeachment after the New York Times published excerpts from a new book containing details about sexual misconduct allegations that he's previously denied, but that revived the raw emotion spurred by his fight for confirmation last year. President Trump on Sunday said that the U.S. would be tapping into its strategic petroleum reserve. Dave, did you even know that we had this?
Well, no, but I was glad to see.
You're happy.
Well,
I didn't know especially that. With prices, you know, they're planning to go up if needed in the wake of attacks on oil sites in Saudi Arabia. I have also informed all appropriate agencies to expedite approvals of the oil pipelines currently in the permitting process in Texas and various other states. The president said in a series of tweets. I think Grzanich, you've got something to say.
No, I was just going to say that while he was running for president, Trump wanted to get rid of the strategic oil reserve.
Oh, my.
He said it was not needed for anything. So
where is it?
Well, it's just kept everywhere. It's just we squirrel away some barrels of oil in case we need them. And that's what that is.
So let's see.
So it's top secret.
I got to get gas tomorrow. Steve, what's the price per gallon going to be?
Well, I don't know exactly what the price per gallon is going to be, but I would get it sooner than later because it looks like this is going to drag on for at least a week or so. And if there's another attack, we're going to see gas prices go up. It's just a question of how much. We've seen oil prices jump by as much as 16% in the last 24 hours.
Well, just like you to be a pesky journalist and remember the details during the election process, Steve. Keep up the good work.
Coming in, it's important now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it sure is. Next!
Quack. Quack.
I like that. Quack. Did you like my version? Okay.
Yes.
Will the BBC overtake Netflix when they enter the streaming market. There's a good chance, according to predictions made by Director General Lord Tony Hall. He also said in a statement that the television industry is about to encounter further disruption as newcomers like Disney and Apple are likely to impact established services such as Amazon and Netflix. By the way, I don't know if you guys have been watching Fleabag. Anybody watch Fleabag? I love that show.
What's that on?
It's like a BBC show, but it's on Netflix. So now I'm wondering, will Netflix carry all the BBC shows?
That's a good question. And people don't realize this, but a lot of the shows we see in the United States have been ripped off from the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
They've been UK shows that have been
Shameless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Office. Think about that.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how this plays out. Excited too.
What's going on? Do we not have any good ideas of our own?
I think all the good ideas have been used up.
Oh, great. The United Auto Workers, which represents about 46,000 General Motors workers, has called a nationwide strike against GM that is set to start at midnight on Monday. UAW National Bargaining Committee Chairman Ted Crum said, "This strike is about us, about standing up for fair wages, for affordable quality health care, and for job security. We're standing up for our temporary employee brothers and sisters who do the same work, but for less pay." Steve, you got anything to add to that?
They're on the picket lines right now in the Detroit area, and if this strike goes badly, if this walkout goes badly for GM, the other car companies could see walkouts as well, because they've started their contract negotiations first with General Motors, and then they'll use that same template for all of the other car companies. So if they don't get a deal done, then this could be a prolonged strike.
Now that Felicity Huffman has been sentenced to 14 days in prison for her role in the massive college admission scam, attention has turned to where she'll spend her time behind bars. Huffman's attorney requested that the actress be allowed to spend her 14-day prison sentence at a federal correctional institution in Dublin, California, a low-security correctional institution with about 1,235 female inmates in Alameda County, about 35 miles outside of San Francisco. She'll have to make her bed by 6:30 a.m. except on weekends and holidays when inmates can sleep in and have their bed made by 10 a.m. Sunbathe on the weekends.
What?
Yeah. Watch the lobby television until about 8:45 p.m. during the week or until 11:45 p.m. on weekends. That's pretty late. Each month, they are allowed to spend up to $320.
This sounds like a hotel. This doesn't even sound like prison.
This sounds better than what Martha Stewart had, right?
Yeah, so I think she had more restrictions.
And it's only 14 days, so.
Wow, yeah, this
deal.
Is like, this is much better than Orange is the New Black.
She won't be spending her 320. She's only in there for 2 weeks.
A transatlantic flight was forced to divert to the Republic of Ireland because a pilot spilled a cup of coffee on the aircraft's controls. The 49-year-old pilot, who has over 13,000 hours of flying experience, had been given a cup of coffee without a lid by cabin crew and accidentally knocked it over as the plane was flying over the North Atlantic Ocean, carrying 11 crew and about 326 passengers. Some of the liquid spilled onto the audio control panel, which became very hot and produced smoke and a burning smell. The damage caused significant communication difficulty for the flight crew and forced them to wear oxygen masks, the report said. Could you imagine? And look, he kind of tried to blame the flight crew for not putting a lid on the cup of coffee.
How does this not happen more often?
Yeah,
if they're drinking coffee all the time.
Why don't they have sippy cups?
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Sippy cups for all airplane pilots. That's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right. Mel Robbins is the host of a new daytime syndicated talk show with Sony Pictures TV, The Mel Robbins Show, which airs nationwide on September 16th. Hey, Mel, are you on the phone with us?
I am. I'm right here.
Well, congratulations. You are entering the arena with a new talk show. How are you feeling?
I feel a little overwhelmed, a little surreal, and also extremely excited because I know what's coming. And the first 30 shows that we have taped are absolutely unbelievable, and there's nothing like it on TV right now.
Okay, so what makes your show different, and why are people going to tune in and watch?
Well, there's a lot of things that make the show different. First of all, It is a show that is about real people. There are no celebrities on this show. This is not a show about celebrities. This is not a show about pop culture. This is a show about real people and what I call the rock and the shoe problems that we all face. It's those struggles that cause you stress, that you think about, that you drag along with you, but you never really slow down long enough to fix it, whether it's helping your kids launch after college or rebuilding your life after divorce or losing a job, or whether it's issues related with blended families or self-doubt or the anxiety that people are feeling in today's world. So it just is endless, the topics that we're going to be covering on the show.
Well, I think what's so attractive about your story is that you've been there. So I think, you know, it's fantastic to think about that you were where you were in your early 40s and feeling anxiety and feeling like, you know, you were unemployed and you were facing bankruptcy. Your marriage wasn't where it should be. Your confidence was super low. And how did you manage to get out of that? Well, because so many of us probably feel that things maybe aren't going the way we want them to go right now.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're hearing me speaking right now, what you need to know is that no matter what you're dealing with, you can change your life. If you are breathing, you have a second chance to change the trajectory of your life. And you're meeting me, Mel Robbins, as a talk show host. But in 2008, terrible year for so many people, my husband and I hit rock bottom. He had gone into the restaurant business. We had financed the thing with our entire life savings. The business was going under. I was unemployed. And so what do you do when life punches you in the face? Well, what I did is I started drinking. I started screaming at my husband. I had trouble getting out of bed. I felt like the world's biggest loser, and I was about to lose everything at the age of 41. And I invented something to help me get out of bed on today's show at 1 o'clock. It's called the 5 second rule. The entire premiere episode is going to teach you the 5 second rule and how you literally change your life in 5 seconds and the science behind it. We're going to bring it to life. You're going to see stories from around the world. You're going to learn how to use it to get out of bed, to find a job, to rebuild your life, to save your life. I mean, this sounds ridiculous that you could change your life in 5 seconds, but I promise you, you tune in at 1 p.m. and you're not only going to see a show that reminds you of the kind of shows that I grew up. I grew up in Western Michigan, and guess what was on when I got home? Donahue. Mm-hmm. And so this is that kind of show, only a modern take. It is a live audience. It is intense and amazing and relatable stories. And then halfway through the show, we turn the cameras around and I'm in the audience. If you come to the Mel Robbins show, you are part of the show. And we're laughing and we're working through the issues that we can all relate to. And by the end of the show, you not only learn something, but you feel a little bit better. And you're also going to be inspired to pick up the phone and be like, oh my gosh, Sally, you got to watch Mel Robbins today. You're a smother hen. And it's backfiring, and that's why your son won't move out of the house, even though he went to college. You got to stop smother henning him. I'm telling you right now, watch Mel Robbins at 1 p.m.
I like this term, smother hen. That's a little bit better than helicopter mom.
Well, you know, I like to give words to things. So it's easy to talk, talk, talk. This is a take action show. What we're doing is we're showing you through really fun words or we do a lot of whiteboarding. We use a lot of props. We're showing you what's not working and why it is that the things that you're doing to try to move your life forward are backfiring you. And what simple step can you take today in order to move your life forward?
Well, I know that your book, The 5 Second Rule, is an international bestseller and translated into 36 languages. And I know that's what you're going to be talking about today, because yes, the 16th is today. So
yes,
we
got to introduce you to Mel Robbins. You're like, who is this Mel Robbins lady?
But can you give us maybe just the first step?
Yes.
What the 5 second rule is.
Oh, sure. So first of all, brace yourself, because this is going to sound like the stupidest thing you've ever heard. But literally, if you find yourself in a situation where you know you need to do something, you got to get to the gym. You got to say something to your boss. You got to put down the second Manhattan that you're reaching for. You count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and something weird happens. By the time you get to one, you have switched gears in your mind, you have quieted the self-doubt, and you have pushed yourself forward, and you will do what you were avoiding doing. And it's a little brain hack that has a ton of science behind it, and there are a million ways to use it, and you're going to see, I'm not kidding, examples today at 1 p.m. on not only my story, how I went from facing bankruptcy and drinking too much and nearly getting a divorce to 5-4-3-2-1, getting out of bed, finding a job, stopping snapping at my kids, rebuilding my life one decision at a time. You're going to see people around the world who have conquered agoraphobia, which is the fear of leaving your house, who have lost 200 pounds, who didn't commit suicide. We know of more than 100 people who have stopped themselves from committing suicide by literally counting 5-4-3-2-1, walking away from what they were about to do and picking up the phone and reaching out for help. We know pediatricians and veterans organizations that are using the 5-second rule to help kids with anxiety and to help our vets reprogram the triggers associated with PTSD. So it may sound a little silly on its face, but the 5-second rule is changing millions of lives, and it's free. And it works instantaneously, and you can teach it to your kids. You can teach it to your grandparents. This is a show you cannot miss.
Well, we are not going to miss it today. You said at 1 o'clock, Mel. Thank you so much. 5-4-3-2-1. All you got to do is watch, right?
That's right.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. That was Mel Robbins with the Mel Robbins Show, which airs nationwide at 1 o'clock today. We're going to take a short break, but we got a lot coming up today. We got Doc Most. We've, of course, got an MVPP. We've got Ryan Nobles and Hamp, and of course, more on entertainment. All right. See you right back here.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. It's Dr. Kevin Most. And by the way, we encourage you, we urge you, we implore you to see Dr. Most's notes, which he generously agrees to have us attach to the post of this particular podcast that you're about to hear. Well, you'll hear it live, then it'll be a podcast. Not a podcast till we put it up. Right now, it's actually live. Doc, are you live?
Yeah, I'm so confused right now. I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, at least I'm a professional, don't you think?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
No, this part of the show is live, and then when we put it up, it'll be a podcast, and then your notes will be attached to it, and people can follow along.
That's easier. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, it's so bad. All this, again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Hope you had a nice weekend.
I did. How about you?
Yeah, busy, but good. Played a little golf. Actually, Saturday, played the best round of the year.
Wow.
Just out of nowhere.
What was your score?
76.
That sounds great.
That's good for me. It's very good for me. And thanks for the high five, Doc. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, right there. Mm-hmm. You only had time for 12 holes or what?
Wow. That's what friends are for. Let's talk blood tests, the actual foundation of all medicine, or am I overstating that?
You're probably overstating it. I would hope that the physical exam still is the basis for it. But, you know, blood tests are very important, obviously, and people get blood tests all the time. And I sometimes think that they may not even know what's happening. They just, the doctor says, and now we're going to send you for some blood tests, and you walk away.
I totally agree. I don't think people ask many questions, do they?
No. No, they really don't. You know, sometimes a really good doctor is going to sit there and say, I'm going to do some blood tests on you. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's why we're doing it. And when I get the results back, here's what we're going to do.
How much blood do I have in me right now?
About a gallon and a half.
He might be a little low, though.
You think I'm low on blood?
A little bit.
A gallon and a half, that seems like a lot of blood.
It does seem like a lot of blood, but you know, when you look at your whole body, and you have to remember, you have a circulatory system that is going out thousands of miles, actually, when you add it all up, going all the way to your toes, up to your brain. So the blood is circulating consistently throughout the day, and we need that much, or we have bad things happen to us. We get dizzy, we get lightheaded, we don't do well.
So that's about 12 pints of blood. How do we make blood?
Blood's actually made in our bones. People don't know that, but blood is actually made within our bones. Matter of fact, people who have had leukemia or know about those tests, they have something called a bone marrow test, where we go into your bone marrow and come out and see what kind of blood cells you're making. So, you know, if a lot of times people say, isn't blood made in the spleen? No. As a matter of fact, blood is taken away from the body in the spleen, but it's made in our bones.
So when you donate blood, how quickly is that blood replaced?
Well, when you donate, you know, what people call a pint of blood or a bag full of blood, it takes anywhere, it depends on how healthy you are, how you're eating, and how well your red blood cell history is. It takes anywhere from a month to 2 months to get totally back to where you were prior to giving the blood. That's why they try to stretch those out between the times that you can give blood.
But if you're a healthy individual, relatively speaking, you're going to be able to give blood, and you're probably not going to notice that for a couple of days, or a day even, or an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, most people, you know, when they give blood, they may feel tired for a day, but most people don't even notice any change or any difference whatsoever.
I always feel more tired like 2 days after. It's weird. Yeah. You know, and I don't notice it the day after, but yeah, 2 or 3 days after, I'm a little sluggish.
And you've been doing it every chance you've gotten for how many years?
I don't even know.
Do you go once a month, once every 2 months?
I go every 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Okay. When I can go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right, what's there to
do? That is great, because people don't understand how much blood is used in hospitals across this country. You know, we hear about when we have blood drives because of something bad that's happened, but we use blood in the hospital all the time. And, you know, giving blood and donating blood is something that is easy for us to do and really makes a huge impact.
You may have noticed that there's a brand new feature on the show, which you're calling Blood Corner, Your Blood in You, Know Your Blood, you know, pick a title. What's the difference between a red blood cell and a white blood cell?
So red blood cells are essentially the part that makes it red, but it also carries our hemoglobin, carries some glucose, carries some of the other important things to our tissues. It allows for the exchange of oxygen with carbon dioxide to be expelled. So that's what red blood cells do. Essentially, they're delivering. White blood cells are there to fight infections. They fight bacterial infections. They fight viral infections. Two totally different things. And then for white blood cells, we have many different kinds of white blood cells that allow us, again, a certain set fights bacteria, a certain set fights viruses. So we'll hear the doctors say, well, we did a white blood cell differential. And then we look at the differences in your white blood cells to see exactly what's going on in from an infectious point of view.
And what's the difference between platelets and plasma?
Well, platelets help us stop bleeding. So when you cut yourself, if your platelets are functioning well, then you're going to clot and you're going to stop the bleeding process. Plasma also has some clotting properties in it as well. And then serum is when all the clotting properties are out of it. And there we have all the things like that check for our liver function and our kidney function. So BUN, creatinine, transaminases, things, tests like that you may have heard the doctor discuss.
All right. So for somebody like me with a hereditary blood clotting condition, I'm antithrombin 3 deficient. Mm-hmm. And I was in a band called the Antithrombin 3. I don't know if you know that.
I had no idea about either.
Yeah. So is my blood different?
Your blood's a little different. Absolutely. So, you know, having deficiencies in some of the clotting factors or having too much of other clotting factors really makes a difference in individuals. But as far as a monitoring point of view, they're checking you regularly, and they're really more concerned about what's going on with your clotting factors because of the chance of pulmonary embolisms or because of the chance of increased bleeding, depending on where you're sitting in the spectrum.
Now, I have a monthly blood test because of that particular condition, yep. And I can't help but notice, Doc, that the tubes that they extract the blood from, they have pretty colors on top. They're color different. It's like a big old box of 64 Crayolas. Do those colors mean anything?
Yeah, they do. You know, people look at those and go, well, wow, you picked a red one and a blue one and a purple one. Isn't that nice? But each of the ones have a different meaning. So when you draw the blood test, you know, if a red top, it has no chemicals in it whatsoever. So the blood is going to clot. And when that happens, we can then extract the serum much easier and test things. Some of the others where we want to look to see what your antithrombin is, when we want to look at what your platelets are, we want to look at that. We don't want the blood to clot, so we put a chemical in there in the tube that stops it from clotting, which allows us to check for red blood cells, because on the other tube, the red tube, they clot and we can't count them. So it really does make sense, and it's not just willy-nilly that they are picking different colored tubes. They're looking for what are we going to measure and what are we going to make sure that the blood gets to the lab in a condition that it can be measured based on those tubes.
Come back, talk about some basic tests that probably everybody has had at one point or another, why they matter, what you should say to your doctor when you're getting blood tests, and also some cool new stuff coming down the road. Stand by for all of that. More with Dr. Kevin Most. All right, what is a comprehensive metabolic panel?
That's probably the most common test that's done, and it, I hate to say it's a collection of tests, so it's not one single test. As a matter of fact, depending on the lab that's performing it, it can be anywhere from 20 to 30 different tests.
But snapshot of your overall health or specific information or both?
Yep. Nope, both.
Okay.
So it's a kind of a snapshot, but it's going to tell me how's your liver functioning, how are your kidneys functioning, where's your cholesterol level at, tell me what your blood sugar is at that period of time, at, you know, the snapshot portion of it. So it is going to give us a kind of a broad-based one-tube shot of anything I might want to know.
A CBC, a complete blood count.
Yeah, that's where we're looking at your white blood cell count to see if there's an infection going on and what type of infection. It's going to check your red blood cells. It's going to check your hemoglobin and hematocrit. So are you anemic? So you might have enough red blood cells, but they don't have enough hemoglobin. So it's going to look at those things, and it's also going to look at some of your platelets or your clotting factors as well.
What's a lipid panel?
That's the fat one, right? That's your cholesterol test that takes you from just your, here's your basic cholesterol number of 300, and it breaks it down into, here's your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, your LDL and VLDL, which are your bad cholesterol.
What's so VLDL? I've never heard that before.
Very low dense lipoprotein. So LDL is low and HDL is high. So it's low and very low and high. That's what the H, the L, and the VL.
Now, does the doctor know what tests I need, or do I need to go in and say, I would like all of the tests on my blood?
I don't think you can request a test, can you, Doc? I don't know.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to know all the tests on your blood, you're going to have to go to David Hochberg and get a mortgage, because we can do a whole bunch of tests on your blood here. So it's sometimes good that the doctor is going to have a discussion with you of what your symptoms are to have specifics. And then he's also going to have, in your age group, this is what we should do just to give us a snapshot. But let's say you're tired. Let's say you're Mary Vanderbilt, you just gave blood and you forgot to tell him that, and you're sluggish. He's like, well, I'm going to check to make sure you're not anemic. He goes, I'm going to check your thyroid. I'm going to check for diabetes, because those three things can make you feel sluggish and very tired.
And a hemoglobin A1C and thyroid tests are two other main tests. Let me talk about a couple of cool new ones. What's this Abbott concussion test?
Yeah, so Abbott has come up with, they found a protein that is only found in the brain, unless there's damage to the brain. And at that time, it's found in the blood. So what they did is they found this, and then they looked to see if you had a concussion by CAT scan. They were much more accurate than the CAT scan was, not only just the physical findings on the sidelines or after a play, but they were much more accurate finding this protein to show that there was a concussion. It's fascinating, and when it comes out, it's not available in the United States yet, but when it comes out, it will be what we call point-of-care testing. They'll be able to do it on the sidelines of hockey games and soccer games and football games.
Wow. That's very cool. CancerSeek.
CancerSeek. Johns Hopkins, you know, probably one of the finest medical institutions here in the United States. They are, what they're doing is they have a blood test now that can find eight different cancers. And what they're looking for is circulating DNA from those cancers in the blood. So they're not looking to say, okay, you have a tumor on x-ray, let's see what's going on. They're looking at the blood and saying, oh, wait, we find this cancer in your blood. We find the DNA. Now let's go look to see where it's at. So great for early identification, but then you would still need to have tests for localization. In other words, if it tested positive for colon cancer, we still need to know where in the colon that cancer is.
And do we really want a lifespan blood test to know how long we're going to live?
No, you know, this is one that's really controversial, and it just came out 2 weeks ago. You know, this is a test that they're looking at right now. They studied, 45,000 people. And then what they looked at is the individuals who died over a certain period of time, and then they looked at biomarkers in their blood to see if they could predict how long the individual was going to live, based on tests that we really don't even do that often. So this one's very controversial from an ethical point of view. Some are saying, well, wait, if I told you only had 5 years to live based on this test, would you change your ways and protect and perhaps extend your life by having a better lifestyle? Others are saying, are you going to use that to limit health facilities with us, you know, that you won't do a surgery or that you won't give me that knee replacement because of those tests?
It's an amazing collection of information, as always, from Dr. Kevin Most, and it'll be attached to our post of this podcast, which will go up shortly here. Doc, great information, as always, and thank you for what you do for us.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
There you go. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. You know, better knowledge means better health care for you and your family. Tune to Northwestern Medicine at nm.org. healthbeatnews for health tips, research, and more in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. Thanks to Dean Richards. I hung out with him yesterday to do the Dean Richards Show.
Yes, I heard it was fantastic.
Was good. The best part, of course, was Abigail Grace co-hosted, meaning she sat there with me for a while. Yeah. And when Chris Chelios was there, Chris tried to talk to Abigail, and it was the exact point where they had to go in for the game, and she said to Chris Chelios, "I'm sorry, I have to go now. I can't talk." 3 years old. Very polite way to say blow off.
I love it.
That's good. He's, you know, a Hall of Famer.
She's unimpressed.
I want her to remember that and say it to a lot of creepy boys when she's a teenager. Not that Chris Chelios is a creepy boy. I'm just using it as an example.
We get it.
A game plan is like a good story. You put the plot out, and then you start, and then all of a sudden, here comes something from left field. Our offensive game plan is like mod art. We just throw crap against the wall and see what sticks. And it's not working, especially with this quarterback.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
You know what yesterday was? Second preseason game. They're lucky they won it. They're very lucky they won it.
Okay, so what are you going to say, like, in late October, it's the like the eighth preseason game?
No, you only get four. So by week five, they're going to be fine. The question is, will they be 1-3? Will they be 2-2? Or will they be 3-1? They've got a ridiculously difficult schedule. And it's very important they won yesterday. If they had lost yesterday and started 0-2, good night, everybody. It's over.
Steve, I'm not sure. I mean, they're playing in Washington a week from tonight. Washington is terrible.
Yeah, okay, so they're 2-1.
And then they come home play the Vikings.
Who are angry after losing to Green Bay.
Yeah, they're not happy.
This is not a good team, Dave, in it. This is a good defensive team, and the rest of the team needs to go to a football doctor immediately. Good morning, Hemp.
Well, I think you accurately described some of the issues, but okay, the positive, let's look at the bright side, the silver lining. We found a kicker. We found out the team is able to exploit their good fortune and be able to, you know, steal a win. But as you so aptly pointed out, we've got a lot of issues, and sooner or later they come back and bite you. Now, will the Redskins be good enough to come back and bite us? Maybe not, but we're all starting to cross our fingers when our quarterback takes the ball, because you just have no idea what's going to happen.
Here's the thing. After the Super Bowl in 85, you guys knew how good you were. And as the late 80s rolled on and you guys missed opportunities, I assume you were angry, knowing you as I do. If you have a good football team and you underperform, doesn't it make you angry, or is the modern athlete different?
I'm not really sure. You know, when the bank account being what it is today, my God, how mad can you be when you sign a contract? You're Charles Leno, and you're getting $9 million a year. You're not really blocking a whole lot of people, but hey, the checks come and you put them in the bank. So I think it's a different deal. You know, I know people don't believe it, but you know, in training camp, you kind of think about, okay, this year I'm making X, but at some point you forget about it, and it's all all for one and one for all. And I don't know if they still have that same kind of an attitude.
It's Dan Hampton, and the Bears do pull out a win in a miraculous fashion, not just to the 52-yard field goal, but the fact they got a bonus second at the end, which they appeared to deserve, though the folks in Denver weren't also happy about it. Vic Fangio looked like he had that thing won.
You got to give him a lot of credit. He was tough. You know, hey, you admire his guts going for the two, and boy, it looked like he was going to come out smelling like a rose. But, so much of the time, when you play a game like that, I mean, and it, you know, so many little bitty things, little things, decide who wins, who loses. You kind of think, you know, if you're Vic Fangio, I deserve better. And I don't know if there was a second left. Officials said there were. So, yeah, there you go. But that wasn't a roughing the passer. That wasn't a I don't even think it was a touchdown. I don't know if he broke the plane, but, you know, at some point, you take good fortune, you tuck it away, and you get ready for the next one.
What, yeah, Hamp, what do they do about this roughing the passer? I mean, we talk about it all the time, but the call on Chubb on the final drive, I mean, it worked out for the Bears, and that's all fine. But really, if that had gone against the Bears, people would be absolutely besides themselves this morning.
Well, see, and that's what this goofball commissioner needs to understand. He's not, you know, hey, the NFL isn't, you know, the diocese that everybody's going to come to no matter what happens. Sooner or later, people are going to say, that's not roughing the passer. If it was, you know, my team would be called for roughing the passer every time they threw the ball. Because we hit the quarterback virtually every time they went back to throw. Well, if that's the criteria, then you have no chance as a defender. So all three of those were horrible, horrible, horrible calls. And what is the word? Integrity. The integrity of the game is being violated. And if they don't stop it, if they don't correct it, if these idiot officials don't get their heads out of you know where, people are going to start saying, you know, this is BS. And they're going to walk away. And I hate that because the integrity is being violated.
You know, Dave, you probably know this, but Joe Montana had his 23andMe test done, and he had Hamp's DNA on him still.
Yes.
And that was 6 months ago.
Right.
Because Hamp hit him every time he saw him. All right, Dave, Hamp's traveling, so give him one more from you.
All right, Khalil Mack. He ends up, you look at the stat sheet, he had one tackle. He was in their backfield all day, except when he was on the sidelines, you know, on a fairly regular basis there late in the game. You think that's anything more than just the altitude maybe taking a toll?
You know, and it was funny. I was talking to OB, and I said, how many times you played there? He said, a couple. I said, I did too. It didn't bother me, but some of the guys it did. Now, maybe it bothered him. But I'll tell you this. You know, that's why you play preseason games. That's why you work hard in training camp so you get ready to rush the passer. And I think I told you guys this years and years ago. It was my second or third year. And it's 98 degrees. And everybody on practice field is, you know, kind of talking and explaining and kind of doing walkthroughs. And we're driving a sled around the practice field, and nobody's doing it. And, you know, I start mouthing off, screaming, hey, make somebody else do some work, you know. And Buddy, you know, said, shut up, Big Rook. And then when we got the team period, about 30 minutes later, he comes up to me and goes, let me tell you something, kid. He goes, you got the hardest job in football. Because when the game is on the line and you are in a position to protect the lead, to hold on and win a game, you got to rush the passer. And that's the hardest thing to do, to fight through these big blockers, and get to the court. And he said, you got to be in the best shape of anybody on the field, so shut your mouth. You guess what? I shut my mouth. And from then on, when we're driving the sled, hey, you know what you're planning and preparing for? Obviously, you know, they don't believe that. Maybe they're not believing the way we did, but hey, we were ready to go when the season started. Doesn't look so much like the Bears have been ready to go these first 2 weeks.
Winning ugly. It's still a win, but it was ugly. And Hamp will break down the Redskins situation later this week. Thank you, buddy.
Go Bears. 1-1. We're in it.
All brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The great people at Chevy. Mike Hillstrom and Ellie. I mean, everybody at Chevy.
Saw him at the Walk of Fame on Friday.
Exactly right.
Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Juliet Sorensen is the executive director of Injustice Watch, a clinical professor of law at Northwestern's Pritzker School of Law, where they focus on public corruption, health as a human right, international criminal law. Prior to that, G, she was an assistant U.S. attorney in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago for 7 years, focusing on public corruption. Between college and law school, she was in the Peace Corps for 2 years. and was a maternal and child health volunteer in rural Morocco. Just reading her credits makes me tired.
Indeed. Wow. Impressive.
In Justice Watch, our MVPP, most valuable person on the planet today, Juliet Sorensen. What do you do for fun, Juliet? Because your job sounds hard.
I have 3 school-age kids and a loving husband, Steve. It's fun hanging out at home.
Oh, I'll my bet. Goodness. She's even a working mom on top of everything else. Wow.
I bet, you know, most people with 3 kids go, wow, it's a lot of work at home. Mm-hmm. Going home for her is a breeze. Works hard.
Well, I tell you, a nap has been known to happen now and again on the weekend.
Yeah, or in my case, 7 days a week. All right, so in Justice Watch, tell us, what do you guys do?
Okay, thanks. So Injustice Watch does long-term data-driven investigations and reporting about what we like to think of as systemic shortcomings in our system, in governance, in rule of law, whether it's about the court system, whether it is about an aspect of our society that affects you, that affects all of us here in Chicago, Cook County, and for that matter, we do national reporting as well. But we look for the stories that are not told by other journalism outlets, something that is really important, a public service to report on, but that wouldn't otherwise be exposed.
So you're talking about huge systemic institutional failures, which I would imagine is super difficult to affect change and tackle. How do you guys actually make a difference in this struggle?
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And as a nonprofit journalism shop, you know, our primary mission is to get things right, to be accurate, and then to do this deep dive on the facts and then expose them. And I will give you an example. Back in June, our team partnered with BuzzFeed News in publishing an analysis that a lawyer in Philadelphia had done called the Plain View Project, where she randomly analyzed public Facebook accounts of individuals who identified as law enforcement and entered a series of search terms. It was a series of very troubling Facebook posts, and the Philadelphia City Council took up that analysis and had a robust discussion just last week, not only about the role of social media in our society and what that means, you know, at every level, but also about how they can promote a culture of tolerance, a spirit of cooperation within the Philadelphia Police Department. And it was our reporting that sparked that day-long hearing in the Philadelphia City Council.
So here's the thing that sounds different about you. One of the big concerns about research is those who benefit from the laws are those who make the laws first, and therefore they're not so much inclined to change the laws that need to be changed. And I think in specific of research into gun violence in America not being funded. You guys aren't funded by the government. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct, Steve. We don't take government funding. We're entirely funded by individuals, and I should be clear, by significant donors, both large and small donations, and also by foundations.
Well, it's an important distinction because, again, you need to be able to pressure the legislators into doing the right thing, not doing their thing, and it's hard to do if you're taking their money, right?
It's critical that we not take government funds. We don't want to appear to be beholden. Again, our goal is to get the facts right and to impartially report on stories that would otherwise go unreported.
One of my favorite things you guys do is the Cook County Judicial Voters Guide, because when it's time to vote, it's really difficult to find information on local judges.
Yep.
And of course, it's super important. Can we find this guide, and is it easily on the web? Where is it?
Yes, absolutely. So www.injusticewatch.org. We produced the Judicial Voters Guide for the judicial elections last year. We'll be producing it again for the judicial elections next year. It is available in a mobile version. You can download it. And to be clear, we don't do endorsements. Again, our goal is to do a deep dive, be very thorough, to report on, but we're not like a bar association, and we're not like an editorial board of a newspaper. We don't give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Really, it's up to individuals to make the decision.
Keep up the great work. Congratulations on your family. Go home and have fun with them, but not until the end of the day.
Thanks so much to you both.
All right, I appreciate you being on. Well, sounds remarkably upbeat for the amount of hard work she does.
It's incredible. Yeah. And also just the positivity to maintain that hopeful attitude in the face of the challenges, you know,
it's very impressive.
Everyday life and news in general.
It's 7:33. We come back with the headlines in a moment at 7:20 WGN.
First down, Buffalo. Here's a little toss to Isaiah McKenzie on the run on the jet sweep. Left side inside the 10 in the 5. Corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Isaiah McKenzie from 14 yards out runs into the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown.
Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go,
Buffalo. Ryan Let's Nobles, Buffalo. CNN, Let's Buffalo, New York native. Was at the game yesterday. Break up the Bills. They're 2-0. The Buffalo Bills, the most powerful team in the National Football League. Right, Ryan? Ryan?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Steve?
Oh, no, I can hear you. Oh, it's such a build-up going, too. I said, break up the Bills. They're the most powerful team in the league.
I think we're going to the Super Bowl. I've already bought my ticket. I'm signed up and ready to go.
Were you at the stadium yesterday?
I was, yeah. It was my birthday yesterday, and my dad and my brother lives in the New York City area. My dad lives in North Carolina. We all met at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, where the Buffalo Bills are 2-0 to start this season. They played the Jets the week before, so they've got more wins in New Jersey than any team in the NFL this year, so that's pretty exciting.
Well, congratulations and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like a good day. All right, let me ask you about the grim stuff now that we got the happy stuff out of the way. This Saudi oil tanker situation, Saudi oil fields, Saudis struck by drone attacks. Now, most of us think of drones as the annoying kid next door with a $400 Christmas present buzzing your barbecue. These are major attack defense drones, right?
Yeah, this is a big deal, and this is a problem. And I think the root cause of the problem is something that the administration doesn't seem to quite have a grasp on yet. There's some signaling that perhaps Iran could be behind it. And, you know, exactly, you know, the Saudi government has a lot of enemies in a lot of different places. And, you know, to have a strike this bold that caused this much damage and is going to cause this much disruption to the world economy is something that the United States government cannot ignore, because the Saudis are our allies, albeit a tenuous alliance for sure.
When they're not killing people, they're allies. When they're not killing reporters.
Or, you know, many of the 9/11 attackers came from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very long, complicated history for sure. So the question is, how does President Trump respond to this? You know, he's released oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve to try and to bump oil prices, but it already looks like they're going to skyrocket this morning. And then, you know, he already is hawkish as it regards to Iran. He pulled out of the Iran nuclear agreement. You know, he's talked in the past in taking bold action against Iran. Is this and then, of course, Iran's relationship with Israel is also a complicating factor. So, you know, what's interesting is that this happens after he fires John Bolton, his national security advisor, and Iran and a hawkish approach to Iran seem to be the one foreign policy thing that the two of them agreed upon. So I think today is going to be very interesting to see how President Trump responds to this, how the rest of the world responds to this, if we learn any more about this attack, because this could be a very dicey situation that could only get worse if not handled properly.
So the election in Israel is tomorrow. It's very close. If Netanyahu loses, does that increase or decrease the chance of Trump throwing something at Iran?
That's a great question. You could make an argument for either scenario playing out. You know, I think that if Netanyahu loses, that may require Trump to feel as though he's got to become the policeman for that region and take more aggressive or bold action. If Netanyahu loses, the conventional wisdom would tell you that the, you know, political mood in Israel and in that region is not interested in the region becoming more hawkish, and instead it would be looking for some level of reconciliation. I think the problem is going to become that, as you alluded to, if under any circumstances, it's going to be close. It's not as if Netanyahu loses, that the opposition party is going to come in with some sort of blazing mandate to kind of take over Israel's government. And then I think even the moderate politicians in Israel understand that a relationship with the United States is of the utmost importance for that country. So I wouldn't imagine that it's going to be a massive change in their approach in Israel, regardless of who wins. But Netanyahu as a presence is one that is hard to ignore because he is so powerful and has such a following there. So that, there's any number of scenarios, but to your point, the fact that this is happening in the middle of all of this action in the Middle East, frankly, it makes things a little scary.
So, Ryan, bringing you back stateside, a quick Google search reveals that Samuel Chase has been the only U.S. Supreme Court justice ever impeached back in 1805. What do you think about these calls for Justice Kavanaugh's impeachment, and is there really anything behind it?
No, it's okay. So here's the main thing. It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen under these current circumstances. There's no way that Mitch McConnell allows an impeachment of Justice Kavanaugh to happen. It would require a supermajority of the Senate to happen under any circumstances. Even if Democrats were to have kind of a wide sweeping election a year from now, the idea that Kavanaugh would be impeached after that, I think, is still a long shot.
You have to have 19 senators who voted to confirm him on the Republican side flip. Short of verifiable proof that he raped someone where the Republican senators couldn't hide anymore, yeah, it's not going to happen.
So what's the strategy behind these candidates calling for this?
Well, so that was the next point I was going to make, is that it's interesting because during the Kavanaugh hearings, when all this was going down, there were a lot of these Democratic senators who were running for president at the same time, save a couple of them that were on the Judiciary Committee, were kind of slow rolling this whole Kavanaugh thing. They were opposed to his nomination, but didn't necessarily voice the opposition very strongly. But now they see an opportunity here to take advantage of it because this is something that fires up the Democratic base. I think this is another example of something that could probably play into Republican hands because it looks as though it's a bit of sour grapes. I mean, I read that New York Times article. It's certainly unsettling. It does make you wonder just how thorough the FBI was in their investigation into Kavanaugh's background. But it wasn't anything more than what we'd already learned the first time around. And if that group of Republican senators, the 52 that confirmed him, would be willing to confirm him then, there's nothing in that article that made me think they wouldn't confirm him if he were put up again to that type of vote. So,
and people need to remember, people move on, but people need to remember that Christine Blasey Ford couldn't live in her own house for months afterwards because of death threats. They also need to remember that coward Mitch McConnell specifically used the power of the Senate to limit the FBI's investigation so that it would have to be incredibly narrow in scope. And the majority of people that could verify the story that came out this weekend and all of its tentacles, they were never even talked to. So let's not pretend that there was a full background check on this guy.
No, and that's the most revelatory piece of the Times story. And keep in mind, this is still a book. It's an excerpt of a book that hasn't come out completely. So there could be even more that come out of it. I think what's interesting about this is that usually, when you look back to the Clarence Thomas hearings, those were very highly contested at the time, very controversial. After he got seated, and there are still stories that pop up from time to time about Anita Hill, but everything kind of went back to normal. I find it kind of interesting that this Kavanaugh drum is still being beaten and that, people have not given up into looking into his background. That drip, 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 I think the biggest problem is it's going to be damaging for the court. And that's why I go back to, again, this die's essentially already been cast, and it makes you wonder why. Well, I think we probably know why, because that's Donald Trump's style. But why the Republicans didn't just say, okay, let's just find somebody whose background is, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of judges that are eminently qualified, that have conservative credentials, that could have been the next Supreme Court justice, that didn't have this kind of problematic background. But for some reason, Trump stuck with Kavanaugh and was not going to back down. And that's how we're in the position we're in now.
Yeah, and as we go forward with this, your number one concern ought to be that we don't have someone sitting in robes on the Supreme Court that lied under oath. That seems like that's a problem for a job requirement for a judge anywhere, let alone the Supreme Court. So this isn't even about whether or not he sexually assaulted someone. It's the fact about that he may have lied under oath, and there's considerable evidence that he did. It's just so deflating, and it just all comes back to the same thing. You gotta vote. It's November 2nd. It's next year. Put it on your calendar right now, Ryan. I don't care who the Bills are playing that day. You gotta vote.
Listen, I always vote. You can count on that.
I know. The Bills don't play on Tuesday.
They're on the playoff doorstep.
Yeah, they never play on Tuesday. Hey, happy birthday, man. Thank you.
All right, you guys take it easy. Later. Bye.
That's Ryan Noble's birthday, boy.
And now it's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
Now, this is our last White Sox trivia question for White Sox tickets of the year because we're running out of home games. However,
answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
Why don't you take a nap there, announcer? I'm here to announce that Super Joe's Blackhawks trivia question will be debuting soon to give away Blackhawks tickets as well. I forgot to tell Super Joe that.
Super Joe,
your Blackhawks trivia question will replace the White Sox trivia question this fall and winter. Aren't you excited?
I am so excited.
That's what I thought you'd say.
What, the super fancy opening, just like the White Sox trivia question?
What will happen is when we get to the part where it says White Sox, I'll just turn the volume down and I'll say Blackhawks. Yeah.
That's a good plan.
All right, so what's the question?
So the last one of the season, here we go. Jose Abreu has 117 runs batted in this season, which puts him in a four-way tie for 13th most by a White Sox player in a single season. Name one of the Sox hitters who has had more than 117 RBI in a single season.
So any of the top 12?
Well, there might be more than 12 because of ties.
Because of ties. It's a complicated question, but I know the answer.
Me too.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Of course.
No comment.
You say that every time.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he is actually one of them.
I thought he might be.
Way to blow it.
Listen, the joke's got to be beaten into the ground anyway. Shoeless Joe Jackson's off the board. You can't pick Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I think I know, but I'm not going to say.
You're going to hold back on this one?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I thought you might. Check out the latest edition of the Cochran Show podcast all the time at WGNRadio.com/Cochran. Later on this morning, I'll be talking to Jim Gaffigan about his new movie and his acting career and his stand-up career and his Hot Pockets. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, next on WGN.
Jim Gaffigan's here. There was no mayonnaise in the squeeze things.
No.
You know, back in the day, there wasn't the squeeze bottle. I was explaining that to my children at dinner. I was like, you could maybe squeeze mustard, but like the progress we've made.
As a society.
We're even squeezing out relish.
What? Now that's crazy.
We're squeezing out relish now. I mean, it is just, America is.
Well, you've said for a long time, your goal is to have all food products in a squeezable container.
That's my goal. I mean, yeah. I'm part astronaut, so that's why.
I can't wait for your Thanksgiving dinner, your squeezable Thanksgiving dinner.
Squeezable.
Mashed potatoes?
Well, the entire turkey. So here's the dilemma I have. As you know, if you invite me to something, that's the right move.
But you won't
show. Because I'm a good gift giver, and I almost never show up.
But you do send a gift.
Sure. Well, I mean, if it's a gift-sending situation.
So you go to a wedding, you don't have to pay for your plate.
Yeah, or if you invite me.
Good for the guest.
Like you invite
you get a
me,
present.
If you invite me to lunch, I won't go to lunch, but I'll give you money for lunch.
Steve, I would like to create a standing lunch with us.
Okay.
Every Thursday.
All right, fine. Where would you like to go that I'm not going to show up at?
I'm going to go somewhere fancy.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem. Here's the problem I have. Tonight. So Jim Gaffigan got a hold of me at the end of last week. He said, hey. I said, what? He said, Steve? I said, yes. He said, hey. I said, what? He said, would you like to come to my movie Monday night? I'm doing a screening at the Music Box.
Oh, and you said yes?
Yeah, I said yes because it's Gaffigan. But I got to go now. Because he's going to know whether or not I was there. Oh. I can't just say I'm going to go. I literally considered...
What?
Here's what I'm going to do. This is my day today. I'm going to leave at 10:15, 10:30. You know, it's a coal mine here. I mean, the amount of time I have to spend here. And I'm going to drive back out to the western suburbs to the summer home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be home for 2-3 hours. And I got to turn around and come back in because Jim Gaffigan's selfish. And he decided to have his movie on a weeknight. So then he's got a movie at the Music Box tonight. And this is a great movie. American Dreamer, where he plays a crazy, stalkerish, think Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Wow.
He's getting great reviews in this movie. I don't know about the movie itself, but everybody's saying Gaffigan is unbelievable as a creep.
So this is him coming out as a serious actor, not just
a
comedian.
Yeah, you know, he's done a couple of parts in the past, but nothing as meaty as this. So he and I are going to talk after the show today, but I'll continue to tell. I'd like to see the movie. I would. And I'm very excited for him.
Can they send you a screener?
That's the thing. How hard would that be?
Just start coughing at the end of the interview. Just, you know.
I got to go. Okay. And then he's going to do it. Here's the rest of this. He's going to do a Q&A afterwards.
Are you leading
the Q&A?
No,
I'm not hosting
the Q&A. What time is that going to be at?
Well, if the movie's till 10, the Q&A probably goes to 11, which means I'm in bed at 1.
Oh, you got to stay overnight somewhere.
Listen here.
Tell Gaffigan to get to your hotel room.
I can afford a hotel room.
Listen here, Steve Cochran.
That'd be nice.
How many people?
Can you pick up a hotel room for me?
How many people get a call from their friend, Jim Gaffigan?
Well, but
like
see,
some name dropping.
Listen, I knew Jim when he was nobody.
But
I know when he was a schlub from Indiana eating hot pockets.
How cool is this? So yeah, you know what? You got to live it. You got to live your life, man. You got to go to this movie.
But as you know, there's two categories of friends. There's your friends, and then there's your show business friends. And a show business friend is somebody who you know in show business, who you like very much, but you never see him. I don't see Jim. I don't hang out with Jim. This is the right thing to do, to go to support Jim in this very important project he's
on. You got
to
go. Yeah, you got to do it.
Are you taking tomorrow off then?
I'll be
Mary,
I'll
don't
be
put ideas in his
hey,
head.
I've been doing this long enough, too, and I know it's hard. It's hard to drive all the way back down. I did it last Thursday night. It was a killer.
This whole, Friday, normally I'm, what time does the show end? 10? Mm-hmm. Friday, normally I leave here about 8:15, 8:30. You know, so Friday we're here till noon because we had all of
the Walk of Fame.
Walk of Fame people. Mm-hmm. It was great
Which
seeing
was really
all those
good. People. So
are you
and it was great seeing Marlene and Williams and Andrea go in and the 10-pin Tattler met his family.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice people. That was all great.
They didn't wear bowling shoes.
But then Christy Vaccari, ace photographer, was here, and she said, hey, well, I'm here. You want to do some more headshots? So we're shooting headshots, and then Dean and I thought, you know, it'd be funny. Let's do some moron entertainment headshots. So we did some headshots I think are going to be funny. So now it's 12:30. Well, I was going to go see my mother. Mm-hmm. So I go see my mom in the north side of town along with my sister. We had a nice lunch, hung out for a while. I get home at like 3:30, 4, 5 o'clock, whatever it was. And then Maureen and I are going to see Newsies that night.
Ah.
Friday night.
Nice.
At the Paramount.
Good.
Which I think Dean saw last night. Dean's going to join us in a couple minutes. He just finished with Gaffigan. So go see Newsies. And then yesterday was the show with Dean and the Hawk stuff and hanging out with Ross and Lauren and Abigail.
You've been busy.
And Isaac.
You are really.
Yeah, and then tonight.
Busy.
I had to play golf. I had to play golf both days.
Of course. Oh, man, I don't know
are
how you do it.
Are you allergic to cats?
Can you hear the violins playing right now?
Yes. Are you allergic to cats?
I actually am, yeah.
Oh, unfortunate. Yeah. I was thinking you could sleep on my couch, and then that way you wouldn't have to drive back to the city, and
That's
then we could
nice
carpool to work in the morning together.
You're just trying to have one day without an Uber?
You can stay at Grisanich's.
Hey, you can stay here. People sleep in Club 720 on that couch all the time.
There's a hotel.
There's a shower here, too.
There's a functional hotel less than 50 yards from here.
That's
the Swiss Hotel.
I can see it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a hotel room during the day, and then you can go over there after the show, and you don't have to go home?
I should strike a deal with a Swiss hotel, where they just have like a room.
Okay,
for me.
The Steve
okay,
Cochran
Star
suite.
Jones.
But you can see how much trouble I have. Sure, I know a lot of people work 9 to 5, and then they have stuff with their kids at night, and they have demanding schedules in their families. But I think you've just heard the trouble I'm in.
Oh yeah.
Whew.
I don't know.
You've earned it. You're a singular talent. One Steve Cochran only comes every millennia.
Should we take bets to see if he's going to go or not?
Oh, no, I'll go.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll go.
Uh-huh.
No, I will go.
Okay.
I will go.
No, I think he respects his comedian friends more than his regular
friends. It's because it's networking. You got to go.
Well, no, because I like when he's on a show, and I like him personally.
And if it was your family, you could blow him off.
Well, it depends on which family member you're talking about.
But yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. Gotta go. Dean will join us in just a second. He just finished talking to Gaffigan on TV.
They have good snacks over at Music Box. Just FYI,
you got a movie snack you like?
Oh, I like the snow caps.
I like snow caps. Dean, you like snow caps?
Twizzlers?
I am not a fan of snowcaps. No.
I like snowcaps. Here's the problem with snowcaps. I like them, but then when I finish snowcaps, I feel like I ate a Thanksgiving turkey. I don't know why. They're just a lot.
And all the white little dots get all over the place.
I like to mix them with my popcorn.
Okay, that's crazy talk.
No, that is good.
Yeah, you're
that is good. Chocolate in the popcorn is good. I'm an M&M peanut man.
Mm.
If I do eat, I rarely eat anything during movies. Interestingly, to me it's distracting. But M&M peanuts are the chocolate covered raisins.
No, okay,
I like those.
Well, why don't you just get chocolate? Why don't they do chocolate popcorn? Why don't they just pour chocolate on popcorn? Imagine what they could charge for that. $39.50.
Melted chocolate.
Wouldn't be messy at all.
That's a good point. The seats might be problematic.
Yeah.
I guess you've been in a movie before.
The seats are already disgusting enough.
Are you going to Gaffigan's movie tonight?
I am not.
Oh, God.
I've already seen it. And I just got done talking with him.
I know, I just saw you on TV.
Frankly, I'm a little sick of him, to tell you the truth. We talked to him yesterday.
Why didn't I get your screener from you yesterday? And then I could have said, "Well, I've seen the movie. It's great."
Oh, I can still send it to you.
Well, no, I gotta go tonight.
No, it's a video that you don't have to go. He's not gonna know if you were there. Yes, not just tell him you were.
Yeah, it's dark.
He's gonna know. I could say I got there late. Came in late. I got there late, traffic. Oh, and then I had to leave early because they get up. Hey, that might work.
Yeah, we've got a million excuses.
Anyway, I love Gaffigan, and you said he's great in this movie, so I'm looking forward to seeing
him. He's so good. This is a straight-up suspense thriller, not remotely comedic. It really, like, disturbing, edge-of-your-seat suspenser. Right. His performance single-handedly makes this movie.
I would be frightened if I was his family, because where's that anger coming from?
Right, exactly.
All right, more with Dean in a second. Stand by for that.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
Well, thank Dean for letting me hang out with him yesterday at the United Center.
Thank me. Thank you.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, we it was great.
Couldn't get that Joe Brand kid to shut up, though. Whoa, what a mouth on
him. He's pushy.
Totally.
He is very pushy. But we had a great time. Thanks, Chris Chelios, Brian Campbell, Troy Murray stopped by because they know what a huge hockey expert that I am.
You did just fine. Now, I mentioned before you came on that you and I shot a couple of promotional pictures for Moron Entertainment.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give this away, but I really enjoy the idea of this picture. Now, if you picture Dean's bald head and my bald head, when we turn around, you know, there's going to be a similar look of our bald heads.
It's hard to distinguish us from behind.
So I said, let's take a picture turned around, because what would be a better Moron Entertainment headshot than the two of us facing the wrong way?
Yeah, not...
Right?
Stupid.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Three Stooges called and said, can't you guys do anything smarter? Come on. And by the way, the Walk of Fame thing, now I'm going to forget somebody, but it was really great seeing people we don't see anymore, like Jerry Wells and Carol Hankner and Marilyn Miller and Lyle Dean and Christine Collins. By the way, how great does Christine look?
Bob Collins' wife, Christine Collins, looks amazing.
Fabulous.
Amazing. I'm sure she's very happy today, too, because, you know, she works with the Chicago Bears.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I had lunch with her, and she was just telling me how dismal it was over there last week.
I bet.
I'm sure
it's a very different feeling today, I imagine.
Who am I forgetting? Bob Sparr, Roger Treemstra. We don't see Jen Lyons or Sandy Pudar unless they come over and see us. And
I do. I get called into their offices quite frequently.
I bet that's true.
Yeah.
And, of course, Paul Rennie, the boss here and the boss over there. Good to see him. And Dan Fabian.
Has been named, by the way, Paul Rennie. He probably doesn't want me to mention this. Has been named 5th year in a row most handsome general manager in America.
And Dan Fabian, I didn't get a chance to see before he had to leave, but Dan, not feeling great, and I hope you're feeling better, and it's always good to see him.
Former program director and former, he's the guy that hired me at WGN. He's the
boss, right?
Was the former general manager. Yeah. Bob Collins used to call him the memo fairy, which you couldn't get away with now.
No, not so much.
It's a whole different thing now.
Not so much. All right, is there any show business we need to talk about?
Yes, there is. Rick Ocasek of the Cars passed away.
75 years old.
I
guess I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, I guess
not that's old.
It makes sense because, you know, our Rolling Stones, our Beatles, our, all of our rock idols are about that age. But he was found by his estranged wife, Paulina Porizkova, even though they were no longer married, she was just doing a wellness check on him and found him lifeless in his New York City condo. They do not know what happened. There was no sign of foul play. Sources are saying that it was natural causes. I'm not sure how natural it is when you just find somebody dead who's 75 years old. But
I don't like that term. I don't like that term because if I die, you know, in my sleep, it's not going to be out of natural causes. It's going to be because something,
something went wrong. Well, that could happen any day. That's, we don't have to wait till you're 75 for that.
But as a disc jockey, I played all the Cars hits, all of them.
Oh my gosh! There, I was going down the list of them this morning. There's, you know, like 20 great songs that you know that I loved. You know, Just What I Needed, Let the Good Times Roll, Drive, Shake It Up. My Best Friend's Girl, the list goes on and on and on.
And Rick Ocasek, thinnest rock star of all time? But he weighed about 48 pounds.
He was tiny. He was a tiny man. He was a tiny man.
You know, if you put him and David Bowie together, like if you glued them together, you'd get one grown man.
That's like one of my thighs. You put both of them together, you duct tape them together, it's like one of my thighs.
Aren't you guys nervous about this? Because they got Eddie Money, then Rick Ocasek. I mean, comes in threes.
Not to correct Mary, because I always called him Rick Ocasek also.
Yeah, it's Ocasek. Yeah.
And I was going through tapes this morning because, you know, people are saying, what's the correct way to say his name? I had always said Ocasek during my entire rock and roll DJ career. And I found some interviews of him saying his name this morning, and he pronounced it Ocasek.
He corrected me in an interview once.
Yeah.
So, right, very nice about it.
So save your snotty emails. Stupid. So those of you have heard me saying Ocasek this morning, don't need to see your snotty emails.
Right.
That's the way that Rick Ocasek said his own name.
Oh, and you want to say hi to your Tufanos, buddy?
Oh, Joey DiBuono, yeah. He stopped by the broadcast yesterday as well. When we do these remote shows on the Sunday show, on my food segment, I like to feature restaurants that are in that area where we're broadcasting, and Tufano's, Vernon Park Tap, is what has a bit long been one of my favorite Italian restaurants. And he was nice enough to talk by and come by, talk about the history of his restaurant and his grandma making food in her kitchen next door, passing it through the window to the restaurant.
She had more room in her kitchen than the restaurant kitchen.
Yeah, but it's a great place. He did bring me a tray of their famous eggplant parmesan because he knows I liked it.
And I made the mistake of saying, Dean, you going to open that?
Yeah,
no way. He slapped my hand.
Yeah, no way. I didn't. It's in my fridge right now.
So
I had some for dinner last night, and I'm going to eat it for the next 10 days.
Your friend Paul Conrad, my friend Paul Conrad, going to join us a couple minutes to plug your big primetime special tomorrow night.
Are we doing a show tomorrow night?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you have anything going on, feel free. Hang around. Otherwise, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
When is he coming on? A few minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll stick around.
All right.
I have to go on the air in a few minutes, but I'll stick around as long as I can.
See if they notice if you're gone. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN. All right, we have no time for anything, so let's continue with our no time theme. Paul?
Hello.
All right, that's all we have time for.
Great
talking
to you.
Paul Conrad.
How are you, my love?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great.
I want to plug this thing that you guys refuse to talk about.
Yeah. We're going
to
talk about it.
But I know you got to leave in 10 seconds.
It's all right.
Will you come back?
We can do two things at once.
Will you come back in 30 minutes?
Sure, yeah.
All right, you've been listening to Paul Conrad live.
I love you.
I'm not kidding. He's got to go on TV right now. You know, we're not landing a rocket on the moon. You know, we ought to be able to coordinate this.
That was a great interview.
I thought it was really in-depth.
I enjoyed it.
Paul Conrad will be back at 9:16.
I like Paul's voice. Just his voice is enough to brighten my day.
Is Dean still around? Is Dean still there?
No, Dean's gone too.
Dean's gone as well. Okay.
It's just me and you and Dave and Viv and Joe and Mary and Steve. Are we not enough for you?
No.
Are we?
No.
Are we? What, chopped liver?
Yeah. No, not at all, of course.
I'm leaving.
Hey, Viv, will you book our Czech teacher later this week? My Czech teacher needs to teach me more Czechoslovakian. I have been practicing.
Oh, Vera. Yeah.
The lady that everyone loves.
Yeah, she's tremendous.
That we all want to get adopted by because she's so fantastic.
She brought you all that food, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what this means? Ready?
I'm ready.
Z technikje duvuro zafreno. Do you know what that means?
It means that you don't love us as much as you love Paul and Dean.
No, it means closed due to technical reasons. I have no idea how I'll use that when I'm there. Yeah, I've learned that. How about mate prane? Mm. Or mate prani?
Oh.
Mate prani.
Oh.
Mate prani.
Yeah, you got to enunciate. Much, remember she said on the first syllable?
The first
wasn't
syllable.
That what she
sounds
said?
Sounds like a...
Mate prani.
Much promise. Much.
That's may I help you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This one might come up. J'ai tout obsézeno. Actually, it'd be j'ai tout obsézeno.
You two are obsolete.
No, it's this. Is this seat taken?
Oh.
What?
I could say, is this seat taken, you young Czech punk? Because I'm an old guy and I want to sit down. I haven't learned the last part of that yet. All right, it's 8:48. Let's try to get this sucker back on time. Steve?
Yes?
That's the best part of today's show. That is my favorite moment.
See, that would be the cool snippet cue for you to tell us what's coming up at 9.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 8:53. I hope you, yes, you, had a delightful weekend. And as we start another broadcast week, tomorrow's Kid of the Week time. You can always tell us about a Kid of the Week. Go to WGNradio.com. And I think it's WGNradio.com/Kid of the Week. And you can go directly to the Kid of the Week page and sign somebody up that you think is Kid of the Week worthy.
You're also supposed to plug MVPP.
The MVPP, the most valuable person on the planet. We are always looking for suggestions on who that could be. And by the way, when I mean we, I mean Vivian, who has to book it. So she's always looking for great stories for the MVPP. So that's another thing that you can do at WGNradio.com.
/contest/
Look what you did there.
Fill out the nomination form.
That's exactly right.
See, I'm helping you out.
Yes, you are.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes, 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 you are. Dave, what do you have to add at this point?
I believe Kid of the Week could also be WGNradio.com/contest.
I think just everyone should just go there all the time. Yep. WGNradio.com/contest.
Let me go to Steve on this. Steve, what's the update on that black hole that's going to eat us?
We're still about 100 million years out from that, but it's making its way closer.
We're 2 days closer, though, right?
Yeah, 2 days closer, so, yeah.
Astronomers have found a supermassive black hole that feasts on a regular schedule about every 9 hours. It eats something else. Big. It eats a big thing.
So guess
what's it swallowing? Stars and stuff?
Yeah, just whatever's around it. And sometimes it'll swallow a couple of stars at once and create, and it'll shoot like a light out both ends of the black hole. It's really cool.
I used to do that as a party trick.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Really?
Was that out loud?
You did say that out loud.
You know, there is a black hole. Scientists now believe there is a black hole at the center of almost every galaxy in the universe.
So here's my question. Do I understand a black hole correctly? It's massive suckage. It's an entity which pulls in gravitationally anything around it, right?
Yes, anything, including light.
It's a vacuum.
A vacuum that just never stops vacuuming, ever.
Super strong. It's like a Roomba from hell.
Yeah, that dang Hazel I have in my house.
It's a flying Roomba from hell.
Can I update you on something?
I guess. I mean, we're doing a really important segment here, as you can tell.
I had a feeling. That's why I wanted to add to it. You know how you gave me advice, and you said that I shouldn't go back and try to pay for a T-shirt that I wasn't charged for?
Well, tell the story so people know.
Oh, so I went and bought a couple of T-shirts, and one of them you could buy, and the next one was like 50% off, because I needed White Sox gear, because I didn't have any White Sox clothes.
So just buy one, get one half off?
Yeah. And then I went home, and I realized they didn't charge me for one of the shirts. So I tried to go back and tell them they needed to charge me for the shirt, but it was a new salesperson. They didn't know the story, and they didn't end up charging me. She's like, don't worry about it.
Right. You know why? Because she didn't want to go through the hassle of having to do all of the various paperwork that goes with, I didn't charge her before, not going to charge her now.
I know, but it's like, you know, at what point, like, do you feel guilty and go back and want to pay for something?
Just go back and buy more stuff.
I guess so.
Yeah. So now, normally, I understand what you're saying, because normally, if something like that were to happen, or there are circumstances where you get too much change in return for something you've paid for. Those of you who still use cash, like I do.
You always have cash.
Yeah, because I think people should have cash.
How often do you go to the ATM?
Every 20 minutes or so. No, I don't know, every couple of days.
And you never know when you're going to be asked to shell out cash for a real estate deal.
Exactly. Dean could have a honey of a deal, and I wouldn't have any cash on me, and we wouldn't have the 47 houses we have around America.
It's
right
just
now.
Fascinating, because I never have cash on me. Like, not even like $1.
How when, can you live?
That's the thing I understand. This is another separation. You on the front end of this millennial stuff is going to have you. I mean, it's going to kill you. You know, you're just going to happen, because here's what's going to happen. You're already on the dark web. Somebody already stole your identity. When the cyber creeps steal all your digital money, then you're going to wish you had some cash. Vanderbilt and I and Dave, we got $100. We're going to be good through the week.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do when you have to tip somebody? Do you not tip people?
I mean, I tip people, right. But I just tip them on the card.
Okay,
but I guess because I don't have a car, so I'm never valet. I don't valet park, so okay. I guess I don't.
Well, what
need
about
cash
a doorman
tip?
At a building? You don't tip.
I don't have a doorman. I've never had a doorman.
If what you if had a doorman, what would you do?
I would, but I don't have a doorman.
What if you stay in a hotel? What if
a hotel?
Helps you
then
with
I
your
will.
Groceries?
Nobody helps me with my groceries.
So you avoid the service world unless it's something you could do with a credit card.
I tip very well when it comes to eating out, but I don't normally need to tip anybody for anything like that.
You stay in a hotel, you always tip the housekeeper.
I do,
right?
Yes. But okay. Then you know what you can do? You can go down to the front desk and even say, "Hi, I'm so sorry, I don't have any cash. Can I?"
Well, wouldn't it be easier to have cash than to go down to the front desk?
I don't know. I have a bank with this crazy bank, and there's no ATMs around.
What kind of bank doesn't have an ATM?
Yeah, right.
I get charged like $18. I mean, no, it's like four.
But it's kind of a scam too, because I mean, my kids do this. You know, when you're somewhere and you need a couple dollars to put down on the table, and they'll say, "Oh, I don't have any cash." And you're like, okay, you know, well, I always have cash. So it's kind of clever in a way to not have any cash, because the other person will always pay whatever you need
cash
for.
Who wants to be a weasel? Yeah,
you people with cash are walking targets.
Thank you, Steve.
At like a couple dollars in my purse.
You're too old not to have cash.
I don't. Last time I had cash was a year ago, maybe.
What?
I don't carry around cash either. I just don't need it for anything.
And you know,
what about ransom payments? What about if you're kidnapped? If you're kidnapped by, say,
you can Venmo
what
ransom.
What about a vending machine? You got to put a couple dollars in.
But you got to have your phone. You got to have your phone. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. The psychos you used to work for at BBM are going to kidnap you, and then you're going to want to pay them off to let you go. They've already taken your phone. Now what are you going to do, Mr. Smart Guy?
Yeah, they don't have. Listen, I don't have any money.
I love the way he said that.
Hey, might as well kill you.
There's nothing. It's going to be like squeezing an empty sponge.
Oh, that is true. When I need to tip somebody like for a haircut or something, I Venmo them. So just Venmo.
Okay. Yeah, congratulations to you and all your little friends. Who did I have this argument on the air with before? It's Kaufman. Justin Kaufman.
I don't carry any cash. I never have cash.
No. Andrea never had cash.
Distinct impression of him.
Well, you know what I do, though, is if I'm at a drugstore where I can get cash back, I will try to get cash back.
You know what a pain that is for the person behind the counter? This is why they're giving you extra T-shirts. They just want you to go home. All right, it's 9 o'clock. Hi, CLTV. Thanks for having us on. Well, this hour is just beginning, which means there's almost an hour left of the show. Can you imagine if this fantastic entertainment could continue?
Excited. I'm so glad we have another hour together.
Exactly. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Mr. Black Hole No Cash will be next.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Paul Conrad joins us in a couple of minutes to talk about tomorrow night's big Channel 9 25th anniversary deal. I'm on a good authority that Paul Rennie is going to present brand new Timex wristwatches to all of them that he bought at Target this weekend because, you know, Tribune's almost done with us, so they're not going to spend a lot of money at this point. You know what I'm saying, Dave?
I hope that's not true.
That's bleak.
Yeah. So Viv and I were just talking, Vivian, producer of the program, we were just talking off the air a second ago, and she was shopping this weekend, and she didn't steal t-shirts like G did. But people thought you were nuts?
Yeah. So my boyfriend George got me AirPods a couple of weeks ago, and I started using them. So I was shopping over the weekend, and my
hair like detachable. They look like hearing aids. They're detachable. Yeah. They're not wired. You put them one in each ear. Yeah.
So I'm wearing them, and my hair is down, and I'm on the phone, and as I was shopping, this woman just looks over me, and I'm like talking, and it looks like I'm talking to myself.
What did you say when she looked over?
I just looked at her, and I was like, oh my gosh, she probably thinks I'm nuts. So I literally just, you know, I remember that, you know, I'm wearing these headphones that, you know, you can't tell that
I'm... So you pulled your hair back to show that you were nuts.
I pulled my hair back so then they can see that I'm not crazy.
I got you.
And that I'm on the phone.
Can I tell you the male version of that? Here's Please. The male version of that. Dave, you probably have had this happen. You go into a men's room, and you're the only one at the urinals. And then... It's completely quiet. Well, it's not completely quiet. You're making some noise. And behind you, you hear this. So you want to get some lunch? And it's a guy in the stall who you think is hitting on you or something. It makes no sense whatsoever, but he's talking to somebody on the phone.
Okay. He's in the stall and not at the urinal for a reason, right?
Yeah.
How do people talk while they're doing that type of business?
I don't know. Dual focus? I'm not sure.
I mean, there's a lot of people. Sometimes, I'm not going to say who, I would get a call from a family member who would be in a stall. And I'd say, what are you
doing? Wait, they called you?
Yes, to talk.
While they were sitting?
Some people like to talk while they're sitting. Oh, and I'm like, what are you doing? Please don't call me when this is happening.
Do you like mute though?
When ridiculous.
I mean, muting ridiculous. Would only prevent them hearing from what I'm doing. I don't want to hear what they're doing.
Well, here's the weird part. That's how I met Paul Conrad. I was in the bathroom. I was standing at the urinal, and Paul Conrad was in the stall, and he went, "You want to get some lunch?" Turns out he was talking to me.
It's got to be awkward when you guys are standing next to each other at urinals. Isn't it?
No, because you don't look at each other. You look straight ahead. Look, you walk into any men's room. I know what it's like in your ladies' room. You walk in, there's a grand piano that somebody's playing.
Yes, chandeliers.
There's a fashion show. Mm-hmm. You know, you walk through. I think there's a show they're shooting called Say Yes to the Potty. You get to pick out which one you go into. There's three or four valets. There's free makeup.
Yes.
You walk in any men's room, it's a burning barrel of trash and random gang fire. You get in, you go, and you get out.
But you're so close together when you're standing.
Not always. There's supposed to be a buffer.
Oh.
You're supposed to observe the buffer.
Paul Conrad, am I lying about any of this? No, can't hear him. See if we can fix that when we come back.
I can hear you now.
Am I lying about any of this?
When we met, I remember you were wearing a blue blouse and you had blue jeans on.
And it was flouncy. Delightful. It was flouncy.
Is it like riding the train? Like if the train car is completely empty,
I've never been on the train.
I mean, but you don't go and sit next to somebody.
I think you should.
Empty.
That's how friendships are made. We're in a society where we're afraid to be with each other or say anything to each other.
And I think you sit unnaturally close to a stranger, and then you strike up a conversation.
So basically, at the urinal, if all the urinals are empty, you go to the one
next
to the guy.
In the middle. I always am in the middle lane.
And if you're sitting in a stall, because in a stall you can see the feet next to you, if you reach under with your foot and just tap them on the toe a little bit, say
hello. No, that means something totally else.
We're in a culture that we're so consumed with electronics. This is the one time that you can have some nice conversation with people.
I like to sit there and then with the echo of a large men's room when you go, so what do you do for a living? strike up a conversation. Hey, how about them bears?
And then you hear the flush. And that's always like, oh, boy.
Good times.
Well, I'm glad to know how your romance started.
Yeah.
Paul and I, So tomorrow night, it's the 25th anniversary of
25 big ones.
And you've been there how many?
I've been there 23.
That's incredible.
It is.
So when you got there, people pretty much thought this thing could be canceled any day.
Any minute. Still, frankly, every day there's a lot of questions about whether this thing's going to stay on the air or not.
So who were the other players when you got there?
All right. So I think it was the same crew, although it was Sonia Gant was the female anchor, and Bill Weir was doing sports.
What happened to Bill Weir? Did he get arrested?
I think he got arrested. He wound up going to a variety of...
You went to ABC and CNN.
Are you kidding me? Really? Bill Weir was doing sports?
Yeah.
Bill Weir does an amazing job, and he's become the environmental guy at CNN.
Right.
And those documentaries he does are tremendous.
Yeah.
You stay in touch with him?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's doing great.
Yeah, he really is. He's doing important work.
Well, you know,
Well, I'm not compared to you and I.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
So when did Larry come in? Was he there when you
Larry was the first guy on the show. So he was the anchor. Well, he was originally hired to be doing, like, news or something. I don't know.
So Larry's got 25 years.
25 years he's been stinking it up here.
I'm trying to think of where I was 25 years ago. All right, while you tell me what you're doing tomorrow night, I'm going to add up the number of stations I've worked at over the course of the 25 years.
All right, let me know if you need any help with the math.
Yeah. I'm going to take a shoe off to keep counting.
All right, so tomorrow night's show starts at 7 o'clock, and it's a video clips of the best moments of the last 25 years. And in theory, if you add up 25 years of a six-hour show, you hopefully will be able to come up with at least 60 to 90 minutes of somewhat interesting moments of TV. And that's what we're bringing tomorrow night. And so it'll be cool to see. Are you done yet, Steve?
If you don't count like syndicated shows that I did or fill-ins that I did.
What are you at?
Nine.
Nine.
Nine different jobs. And by the way, I have been here for 16 of the last 19 years.
Which is the biggest surprise.
Which means the other eight were over the course of 9 years.
That's impressive. Not easy to get fired that many of times and rehired.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's one thing to get fired every other year, but to get rehired that quickly is what's most impressive to me about it.
Now, I remember when Robin Baumgarten did traffic for me at The Loop.
Right. This is 95?
Mid-90s. Yeah, mid-90s. And then she comes over and she jumps over TV. Well, good for Robin. She couldn't do traffic on TV.
Yeah.
But eventually, she developed enough background information, photography, and blackmail evidence to get rid of everybody in front of her.
That's exactly how you do it, is if you get enough evidence, you can keep the job here. And if you have enough dirty evidence, you get promoted into the anchor chair.
And that's all I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right there. And then who was doing sports before Tomasulo?
Mike Bars.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he ended up in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. He's in Indianapolis now.
Oh, yes.
But he left. He went to Good Morning America. We've had a lot of guys with a lot of talent here who've left and then gone on to bigger, better things.
Well, you've had network offers.
Well, yeah, networking offers. You know, I have people want to join me on LinkedIn, stuff like that.
No, I'm talking about when C-SPAN wanted you to come in and do like a post-game analysis.
They did. Back in 78,
right.
I believe. But
the Weather Channel wanted Paul to come in and mock the forecasters.
Right. Right. I've had an impressive run.
So
I'm staying here.
How long do you think you're going to do this?
Well, my contract expires
in an hour.
2 weeks?
Is it really 2 weeks?
No, 2 years.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm having some fun still. And
see, I'm up in a year and a half. I think you and I go get a place in Florida together.
I'm in. All right. If you get it decorated, and I'll give you 6 months to get it decorated.
I got a 6 month head start. That's exactly right.
Is it outside of Orlando or whereabout?
That's a good point. I got to pick it out yet, so I'll pick it out.
Just pick it out, and I'll come down.
Could you hear the Odd Couple music playing already, except we're both Oscar?
Right.
I see you guys in St. Augustine.
St. Augustine would be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
It's crazy, right, that when you think that 25 years this thing has been on TV.
That's a long time. Frankly, it's enough.
I think it's enough. I think there should be a special announcement at the end of
Shut it down.
The show. We're done.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm 26,
it's a good
Steve.
Run.
So you were one when the show started.
This is the thing, right? You start meeting people who are like 35 that come up to you. I was watching you when I was 10.
Vivian was 3 when you started at Channel 9. I know. I'm angry about it, too.
Yeah, that's insane.
All right, so what are we going to see tomorrow night?
I already told you, nothing much. A bunch of clips, highlights of the last 25 years.
What great promotion.
Some magical moments.
Any special circus performers? You guys seem to like the circus performers.
You know, there are going to be some good clips. I don't know if we've got the circus performers locked in.
Okay.
But I do know.
Live animal acts?
We do have the live animal acts. We've got the guy who juggles kittens coming back. And we've got a lot of stuff like that. And they don't get hurt for you animal people out there.
Will your mail order bride, Svetlana, be in attendance?
No, she's not coming. We have had a resurgence in our relationship, which is great.
Great.
So that's good.
So when you tell your kids 25 years.
Yeah.
How impressed are they?
They could give a rip. They don't care in the slightest. But you want to know what they care about? Is why I'm not going to be at their soccer game or their cross-country game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because I'm working at night. So, frankly, it's a night off for me in many ways. I'm not chasing kids around and having stuff thrown at me by Svetlana. She's got a good bright arm on her, I tell you that. But yeah. She can throw a pan with the best of them.
Cubs are still looking at her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right.
Incredible plug. Love you back. I'll start picking out our place in Florida.
Okay, good. Right, there's something with pink in it.
That's right, because it matches your eyes.
Yes, thank you. On a Saturday morning.
He is delightful, don't you think? Paul Conrad's delightful?
I think he is, yeah. I have gotten to like him even more.
Yeah.
Throughout
so, I mean,
this.
I think we can all agree there's something dramatically wrong with him. But he's delightful.
He's somebody that the more you get to know him, the more you like him.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could go the other way.
Like when you met me.
No.
Yeah, like when you like me.
I wasn't
going
to mention names. Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I had no idea G could play Bleeds guitar, but this is G on the guitar.
Pretty good.
My backup job.
For somebody without cash.
With Little Lucille. Leave that up, Jeff. Little Lucille and B.B. King. You know what's coming up now, don't you? Oh, no. The thrill is gone. It's gone today. The thrill is gone. It's gone away. I love B.B. King. You know, B.B. King is my favorite U2 song.
I feel like you could be really good at, like...
the blues?
Oh, no, like blues. Spoken word. Like, if we put, like, beret on you.
Well, as a black entertainer, I know from hip-hop and rap. But U2 and B.B. King did a song called When Love Comes to Town.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest song ever. Well, not the greatest song ever, but it's right up there.
Do you want to do a little rendition?
No, Joe will find a hook while we're talking. It's When Love Comes to Town. So I go to St. Louis for a business thing, and some people there said, U2 is at Busch Stadium night. You want to go to the concert?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. I didn't want to go, but I did. And I go to the concert, and it's a good concert. Obviously, it's U2. And I'm thinking, well, B.B. King's not here, but St. Louis, the blues, they got to do When Love Comes to Town. They did the whole show. They didn't do When Love Comes to Town. I was the only one walking out of that concert, not high with the excitement and thrill, because I'm going, they didn't play my song.
You should have, yelled out, When Love Comes to Town, and thrown your underwear up there.
Oh, I did do that. But I didn't yell. I just threw my underwear on stage.
I was trying to think the equivalent of throwing a bra, you know? I was trying to think of something there.
I'm trying to think of something less appealing to rock acts than men throwing their underwear at them.
But I was trying to, make it, gender equality type situation. And I thought, well, you don't have a bra, so there's underwear.
No. But I'm a full A cup. So I got that going for me.
Oh, jeez.
Super Joe, you got a little U2 and B.B. King for me? Play it whenever you find it. This is a little bit of When Love Comes to Town. It's a great song.
That would be...
And Bono, this part's good. Lion, that's B.B. Come on! Is that the greatest U2 song ever?
So they're going to join the love train. They're going to get on the love train.
Well, you can't do it now because B.B.'s dead. How old would B.B. King have been today, Super Joe? If
94.
94 years old. Mm. How old's your dad, Dave?
He'll be 96 in December.
Where is his blues album?
He actually recorded it back in the 40s.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Mm. With a swing band?
Yeah.
Okay. 9:32, your headlines are next.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans, a pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Big O.
Good morning to you, my friend.
Sorry I didn't see you on Friday. I know you had a bunch of things coming up, and you always like to be there for the Walk of Fame inductions. But I mentioned this earlier. It's just good to see all the people we don't see anymore.
That's right, and I felt badly about not getting there, but a trip to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that had the commercial airline flight canceled, and Air Orion couldn't fly because of thunderstorms, and then had to get down to the U of I for their salute to Food and Agriculture Day, and also salute to the alumni and the current students who are making great achievements. So I really miss being there, because I'd indicated earlier that I would be, but
no, it's totally understandable, and it's just great to see that you've slowed down at this point in your life.
Well, I'm as a matter of fact, I've got a quiet week, not much going on this week, but it was busy last week, and all good stuff. Went to a county fair in Spencer, Iowa. That is the biggest county fair I have ever attended. The
You're
Clay
kidding.
County Fair. Been going on for a long time, and it's a huge county fair, bigger than some state fairs. And they do a great agricultural show, great agricultural equipment show, and it was great to be there. And then, of course, the U of I, where we try to spend every year at the Salute to Food and Agriculture Day. Good turnout, saw a lot of people like at our get-together. We do see about once a year, so...
The morning breaks on a brand new week. We still are fighting with China. What's the world agricultural situation this morning?
Well, I've got to talk about China on two different stories, and I still say I welcome the day when I can do an agricultural report and not talk about China.
Sure.
But China now, for the second day in a row, has come in to buy U.S. soybeans. Private exporter this morning reported the sale of 256,000 tons of soybeans to China, second trading day in a row that it has announced a sale to the world's biggest buyer of beans. And that sale comes ahead of the trade talks between the world's two biggest economies, and were expected as part of a purchase of more than 600,000 tons of U.S. soybeans that two traders with knowledge of the deal said China made last week. And then the other China story is African swine fever. China's pig herd down 38.7% in August compared to a year ago. The country's sow herd has declined, those are mama pigs, and that declined by 37.4% a year ago. And for a country like China that has pork in just about every item on its menu, this is a serious situation, and one that they're going to have to straighten out somehow, and we hope they'll straighten it out by coming to the U.S. to import pork from the United States. So a lot going on this morning.
Do we buy pork from them?
No, we don't, because they have before this swine fever thing, four times more hogs in China than in the United States. So they're not only the biggest consumer of pork in the world, but they are the biggest producer of pork in the world. And, you know, the New Year's lunar holiday that is the big social event in China coming up the first part of next year, if they don't have pork on the menu, the government could have a little challenge from its people who would be unhappy.
There's another story I thought was interesting. It's not China, you'll be happy to hear. But Russia is talking about, if they haven't already cut the deal, renting a large portion of eastern Russia. It's the largest continent, or the largest country, I should say, on Earth,
right?
In territory. And a large portion of eastern Russia being rented out as farmland for countries that need more farmland. And there's a group of Asian food companies who are renting an area the size of Jamaica to farm it.
Well, the problem that countries like Africa have with farmland and adequate farmland to produce food, the countries in Africa and even India that has a problem producing enough to feed its huge population, doesn't surprise me that they might look to Russia to lease land or to buy land. I know that China looked at South Africa to add to its farmland and production capability. So that's just part of the changing world structure in food production, because I'm not sure all of us have realized it yet, but we can't succeed very long without food and water.
What is the fall plan for farmers? Does it change because of the spring rains?
Definitely. It could be one of the longest harvest seasons on record because, you know, planting went a couple of months, and normally that's over in 4 or 5 weeks. So as a result of the late planting, a lot of crops will come to maturity a lot later. There's been a saying forever in agriculture that farmers like to be done with harvest and have the combines parked in the shed by Thanksgiving Day. I think this year we're going to go to Christmas and beyond to get the harvesting done because, again, we're waiting for the Mother Nature to bring the crop to maturity, bring the moisture content down. You can't harvest corn or soybeans when they have high moisture content because they will spoil in the bin. And so harvest this year is going to be one of major concern. And about the only bright spot I have heard, Greg Solier, who was our agricultural meteorologist on our television show every week, has said he does not see a frost until late October, which would be late for the earliest frost in the
harvest. Well, that'd be
season.
Good news weather-wise, obviously, but once you get past November 1st, the idea that you could harvest completely weather-dependent, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, very much so. So we'll hope that Mother Nature is good to us and bring us. We need more heat, degree day units, important to get the crop onto maturity. And we're getting some of that. And that's another plus for the market. But it was interesting last week because flying across the entire state of Iowa to Sioux Falls, looking down even from 33,000 feet, could see only two soybean fields that I could see coming back that had turned color, had gone to brown, and that's an indication of maturity. But then on Friday, flying Air Orion at 3,500 feet down to Champaign, a lot of Illinois soybean fields already showing a change of color, and that's good news, particularly for soybean growers. And, you know, we're a major producer of soybeans in the state of Illinois.
Last question. We going to have enough pumpkins?
Yeah, we will. As a matter of fact, had dinner with Jim and Esther Gobert. They used to host Pumpkin Fest back when we were doing the Pumpkin Fest shows on WGN. And I asked Jim if the virus that had attacked the pumpkin crop 3 or 4 years ago, pretty much gone. And he said, yep, pumpkin crop looking pretty good.
All right. Well, that's good news. Good way to end. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. And have a good week.
Couple of music notes too before we finish, since I was talking about B.B. King. We'll come back and do that. Wacky origins of songs you know.
Wacky.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We'll do this in greater detail on another show, but this is a cool story. These are weird origins for popular songs.
Okay.
Give me a little bit of this one, Hanson, Joe, when you're ready. You might remember this from 1997 when you were a tiny child.
I was in high school.
Mbop represents a frame of time, says Hanson, and Mbop, they're gone, it says the lyrics of the song. The whole song is about the fact that everything in your life comes and goes quickly. You have to figure out what matters, and you got to grab onto those things. Mbop, it's over. Mbop.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's
that
deep of a meaning behind Mbop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about the Beatles? You know the Beatles?
Mm-hmm. Love the Beatles. Who doesn't?
You know where this one came from, Dave?
I always thought she's got
the
a
CTA?
Ticket to go on the train.
Totally.
On a train. Yeah. To ride a train.
Yeah. For the bus.
The girls who worked the streets in Hamburg had to have a clean bill of health, so the medical authorities would give them a card saying they didn't have a dose of anything before they were able to work as prostitutes. John Lennon called it a ticket to ride.
Wow.
And that's where the Beatles, in their early days, they were artists in residence in Hamburg.
How about that?
Mm.
Not a coincidence.
Bop.
Paul Simon wrote a lot of weird songs, but this one is kind of, I mean, you think, well, there's got to be some deep meaning, right? It's Paul Simon. Remember this one?
Sure. But the mother and child reunion
is only a month away. The title of the song and the inspiration to write it was because Paul Simon was eating in a Chinese restaurant in downtown New York City, and on the menu was a dish called Mother and Child Reunion.
That was it?
What?
That's it.
What was it?
That's the whole thing.
See, I thought you were going to play Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
I don't have a story for that one.
Yeah, but there's got to be one.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Aerosmith made the list. Listen. This is actually a story that's been told many times, but I still find it funny. This song was written because Steven Tyler was at a bar. He glanced around the room. He saw what appeared to be a hot blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
Oh.
Dude, looks like a lady. Let me give you one more before we run out of time. This is the song that they ended Seinfeld with. Remember this?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. At the time of
sweet song, right? Melancholy. Talked about how sad you are. That
the
you
favorite of graduations.
Billy Joe Armstrong wrote this song as a vicious, bitter farewell to his girlfriend who was leaving him to move to Ecuador. He said, I wish I was a bigger person, but I wrote this song as a good riddance bon voyage. He said, it took me less than 10 minutes to write because I was so mad. He said, I was trying not to be bitter, but it came out bitter anyway. Yeah, try telling that to the class in 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. and so on. We got a whole bunch of those. We'll do some more in future shows. But in the meantime, we'll come back with Bill and Wendy in a moment in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve will be. It's 10 o'clock. Wendy's back. Nice to see you, Wendy.
Welcome myself back. Yes.
Welcome to you.
Welcome back, me.
Welcome to you. Kevin's in Aurora. And Kevin, what do you have for me, Kevin?
Yes, the mother and child reunion at the Chinese restaurant that Paul Simon got. It was chicken and eggs.
Oh, that's what the dish was?
Yes.
And yet he wrote this song that we all thought was so touching.
Yes.
Oh, did you get chicken it? Mother, child, chicken and egg? Yeah, got it.
I wonder if like he had been inspired by Poo Poo Platter, if that would have been a hit.
That inspires me.
Right?
It would have made for a different song, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Very well, Steve. Thank you for asking.
Dave just had a big week, or Dave had a big announcement that just came from Bill, because Dave couldn't have been more excited. By the way, that's the most excited I've seen Dave since I met Dave in the 90s.
Oh, yeah? No, that's not true.
Yes, you came in and said you went to Ishnala Supper Club, uh-huh. and Dave acted like he'd won the lottery.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
He did light up.
It's an exciting place.
Well, no, it was just a coincidence.
There was a
whole conversation.
There.
I went there with some people. Dave happened to know the people. You're kidding. And then they all.
What'd you have?
They joyfully had a conversation. And then Bill talked about how the prawns were a good choice.
Yeah.
That's where it's gotten. That's how old we are now. Talking about what we had at the Ishnala Supper Club.
I know. I asked if he had the famous roast duck.
Right. You had the roast duck, and right. Bill had to respond. He said, no, I went with the prawns.
Right.
I've had the duck in the past, Steve, just so you know. And it is it's so good.
This is like an 80-year-old right? dialogue. Right. I'm sorry, yeah. It is.
Bill and Dave have a new podcast coming up called Things We Ate.
Actually, half the podcasts on the market are exactly that. You're you right. know that, right?
They pretty much are that, yeah.
You haven't heard my mac and cheese podcast? Come on.
Podcasts now are Instagram pictures of food.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all you
That's
get.
All you
get. Yeah.
What are you doing today?
Talk about the food that we ate all weekend.
What did Wendy eat?
Wendy had a tangerine. People are going to hear about that.
Exciting. Juicy.
We'll be back tomorrow. Here's one.